Aside from just waiting for the system to change, what can viewers like us do? I decided to ask someone who knows a thing or two about the power of concerned viewers.
I'm Randall Pinkston. I began my career in broadcast journalism in Jackson, Mississippi.
Starting in the 1960s, a citizens group there questioned why a commercial TV station operated as if black people didn't exist. WLBT didn't employ them, and its news department didn't report about them.
Let's say it was Thurgood Marshall when he was still the head of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund.
Randall told me that WLBT Channel 3 produced the top-rated local news program in his hometown.
If Thurgood Marshall popped up in a network broadcast on Channel 3 in Mississippi, it was possible that someone at Channel 3 would put up a little poster saying technical difficulties and just block out whatever Thurgood Marshall was saying. I'm not saying that happened with him, but that's the kind of thing that they did.
Viewers who objected to that kind of thing, well, they organized. The broadcast airwaves, after all, are a public trust regulated by the Federal Communications Commission. So ministers, college professors, and civil rights activists monitored and collected data about the newscasts, presented evidence-based petitions to the FCC, and showed up for hearings in the courts. That evidence bolstered their challenge to the owners of the broadcast license.
And in order to keep it, they had to begin to diversify. They had to begin to hire people of color on their staff.
This challenge took years. Eventually, it worked. Randall, a radio announcer, took his place in front of the camera at WLBT in 1971. He went on to a long career as a news correspondent for CBS and Al Jazeera. Half a century after his first TV job, this is his takeaway.
When people come together to press government agencies to carry out their constitutional duties for fairness, for equity, for non-discrimination, sometimes you have to go to court to force the agency to do those things. Change is possible, but it doesn't happen quickly. And you have to know the law, and you have to have enough money to be able to fight for years to bring change about. It took 5 years for the FCC to be told to take the license away from Wildlife Broadcasting.
Remember, this challenge began in the 1960s. In 1980, the FCC permanently awarded the license to TV3, an integrated group that included Mississippi NAACP leader Aaron Henry. In the decades since Randall became anchor of the Channel 3 6 o'clock news, he takes pride in another practice he started that's helped keep that newscast on top of the ratings.
My brief role as a 6 o'clock anchor resulted in a continuous presence of an African-American male as a main anchor. I was followed by an African-American male as the main anchor to this day.
It's not lost on me that the kinds of challenges we viewers and makers raise with public television might require the kind of persistence and support that the license challengers at WLBT applied to their situation.